their way to Seattle after their flight was aborted last night. Shortly after taking off from DFW Airport near Dallas, American Flight 438 made a quick U-turn and landed with flames coming from beneath one wing. Police dispatchers were swamped with calls from folks in the area who saw the flaming jet flying over their homes. The federal government is getting tough with debt collectors who harass and intimidate people. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is rolling out a plan that will set limits on when and how often collectors can call. It will also help people dispute errors. Without evidence that how much they are trying to collect is accurate, they couldn't actually seek payment. Complaints about debt collectors account for a quarter of all complaints received by the Bureau. Stocks are down in midday trading. In the last hour, the Dow was off by 63 points, the NASDAQ was down 2, and the S&P was down 3. This is USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. For more news, we're on the web at usaradio.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Well, good afternoon. It's Thursday, July 28th, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you have reached Teachable Moments in Business. So the question is, where do business people go to get the most up-to-date information and ideas they can use to meet their everyday challenges? Where can they learn trustworthy, real-world, doable strategies and action plans you won't just find any place else? Well, it's right here, Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host here in Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio. So you can listen every Thursday afternoon from 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If you miss the show, you can hear the archives that you can just find by going to Hunterdon Chamber Radio website. So today we have quite a few items to talk about in business, but first let's take a listen to our sponsors.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective. And you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
So welcome to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. Let's take a look at the weather right now. Coming into the office this afternoon, I found that it is partly sunny, and there is a high near 92 degrees this afternoon with a light southwest wind. There'll be showers and thunderstorms tonight, apparently quite heavy, and so make sure you're prepared for those for that rain and those storms. In fact, there's some areas of New Jersey a couple days ago that had a huge rainstorm, and they lost power. So today we are looking at a low of 72 degrees with light and variable wind later on. That's in this evening. There's a chance of precipitation of about 80%. And the rain may amount to between 1/2 and 3/4 inches, which would be possible. Now, tomorrow, showers and there's possibly a thunderstorm before 10 a.m. Then there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 10 and 2 in the afternoon. So some of those storms may produce heavy rains in some areas of New Jersey. And, of course, tomorrow we're looking at another high, actually not as high as it is today, of 84 degrees. And there's a chance of precipitation again at about 80%. So that's your weather forecast at the moment. I'll come back in a little while to talk to you about what's going to happen in the next few days over the weekend. So business today is really changing at a very rapid pace. And I think in business today, it's all about helping other people and sharing information. So we have to consider that success today can be really grounded in becoming lifelong learners by taking advantage of programs and people out there that you can connect with. So, for example, I teach quite a few courses at the Raritan Valley Community College Small Business Development Center. So by taking courses today, and by the way, content changes if there are topics such as marketing or selling or networking skills. So it's a good idea to check out the programs that are being held at the school. You can also take advantage of mentoring opportunities with other people. In fact, I often suggest that you build an unofficial board of advisors. These are people who may be from your industry, or they may be your accountant or your CPA, your banker, an attorney that you have that you're friends with. It could be someone who's been a professor of yours at school, or perhaps a college friend. But if you can build a board of advisors, you don't have to bring them together for a meeting, but just connect with those folks and ask them if it's okay if you can reach out to them from time to time to ask them questions about your business. Have somebody to bounce off ideas so that you can get the kind of feedback you need to make decisions. Now, when it comes to networking, there are plenty of networking organizations out there where you can learn. In fact, I believe that when you go to a networking event, you first need to go with the plan and the goal of learning something that will be beneficial to you. And then secondly, you go to help other people. Again, this is where the mentoring opportunities might come in. So what can you do to connect people that have issues and concerns? Or perhaps you'll learn of people looking for a certain type of business partners and you know somebody to refer them to. Now, on the other areas of networking that we've seen in more recent years, BIG, Believe, Inspire, and Grow. That's an organization for women, and I belong to that group. I also, by the way, belong to the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce that has a lot of meetings that you can attend where you can learn. BIG is for younger business women who are just getting started, and they make a point to bring in some wonderful speakers to that organization. Another one is Business Women Networking in a Cause Activity, so it's called BW and NICE, and there are chapters around the state, which is also true of the BIG group. And then an older organization that still has chapters around the state is NJABO, New Jersey Association of Women Business Owners. There's another group that I also used to belong to, BNI, Business Network International. And if you want to find places to meet people, to network and to identify business opportunities, check out Meetup online, meetup.com. There are many organizations that will list their events and who their speakers are, where they're being held, and the cost and so forth. So in addition to all these things that you can do, you can certainly check out Teachable Moments in Business here on the on this 100 radio channel. And I guarantee you that you will learn information that will be extremely valuable to you in your business. That's for sure. Now, today I wanted to talk to you about give you some information as an add-on to a discussion we had last week. Last week I had an interview with John Hadley, who I've known for many, many years. And John is by trade an actuary, but some years ago he discovered that there are people that need help in finding jobs. So he serves as a mentor and a coach for job seekers. And he has a wonderful newsletter that goes out to people that are looking for jobs, who need tips on how to present and how to prepare for job seeking. And he's helped many, many people. In fact, his newsletters are really good, and I save them for people that I run into who are looking for jobs, because there's always some good tips that they can put into use. So when I had him here last week, my goal was to have him discuss what it's like to be on the other side of the desk. So in other words, instead of being the job seeker, I wanted him to tell us more about what happens and what an employer might be looking for in interviewing for a position in their firm. So it turned out that the things that he talked about were really excellent. If you have a chance to go back and look at the archive from last week, that's July 21st, you'll find it to be very enlightening. So I have did some research on intern programs, which is something that he and I discussed. And we talked about the value of an intern program in that today students who are in college, who are seeking, who are planning their career, and they're going to need to seek a job, some of them have trouble finding the positions. So it's very important that they engage in an intern program, and that companies, on the other hand, offer those programs. In fact, as a member of the advisory board of the business department at Raritan Valley Community College, there was a discussion several months ago about the fact that not enough of the students are seeking internships, and they do urge the parents to lead their students, their children, in that direction, because so much can be learned from being an intern for a company. Even if it's not a field of business that they ultimately will end up in, at least it gives them an experience that they would not have otherwise. So think about what the status of your corporate internship program might be, and whether or not you're providing a true internship program or just a simple work experience. So internship programs may be crucial to your company and certainly your industry in order to build a pipeline of talent for the future. Companies that truly commit to building an effective program will attract and maintain some of the best talent. So I have four tips for you to consider as you put into effect an intern program, and of course you want to make sure that you're on the right track. So I have four tips for you that I'd like to share. So if you don't have a pencil, make a note to come back and listen to the program once again. But here are four tips for you. First of all, it's important to have a detailed project list prepared as you begin the search process. Students usually search for the perfect internship, and they entertain multiple offers before making a final decision. In recent years, it was found that 53% of students reportedly debated between one or two intern offers, and some even considered three to five offers. So the most desirable internships provide real experiences and not just meaningless busy work. So having a detailed job description and project list in mind will help you communicate with the students about their day-to-day activities and assure that they know as much as possible about the internship beforehand, so both parties can make the right decision. Another point here would be to have students develop goals or contribution statements for their internship. Consider the importance of having outlined goals and tasks ready for your intern when they come on board. It's also important to have students identify what they hope to gain from the internship, as well as what they hope you, as their employer, will gain from having them on board. And I think this is something that many students don't think about. What exactly is the value that they bring to the table for an employer? This is very, they have to think about this, because if the employer doesn't see the value, they will not hire those individuals. Another step is be sure to schedule time at the end of an internship for interns to present their final projects. Interns spend a lot of time working on one or more projects for your company. So just as other employees value the opportunity to showcase their work, interns value that opportunity as well. Any manager who has worked with a student in any capacity, from the recruiting to supervisor roles, should be invited to be in the audience, as well as upper management and administrators. That sounds a little scary, though, I guess, for some interns. The giving of your time to listen to their presentations by asking questions and sharing feedback gives interns the opportunity to see that your company really does value them, and that the company values the internship mission. It's a win-win for both parties. I'm going to break for a moment before I finish up on this topic with you, but let's hear some information from one of our advertisers.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Vicki Lynn Morgan again on Teachable Moments in Business. I shared with you three tips on preparing for an intern program. Here's the fourth tip in this series of information. The fourth tip is emphasize constant communication and evaluation of performance throughout the intern experience, not just on the last days. And communication is really critical today because, especially your young people, the young millennials, and I forget what the next generation is being called, it probably has several names, but many of them are not skilled at communication. So please emphasize the communication throughout the intern program. Millennials are now that they're entering the workforce, they do crave constant feedback. So begin your communication before their first day on the job. A growing problem many employers face is students shopping around for the best possible internship right up to the day they begin. So once you have a student who has accepted an internship with your company, send emails and invite them to the company gatherings and other events before they actually begin. This way they begin to experience the company culture. Onboarding isn't an overnight process either. So during the internship, as a supervisor, you'll want to schedule weekly time to visit with the intern and discuss projects and progress and provide feedback. So the extra effort on your end will provide a greater experience for the student and certainly produce quality work for your company. So one of the concerns that we run into as business owners is the importance of having a salesperson. You know, and when I teach my marketing classes, I talk about the fact that if you don't market, you're not going to sell. So marketing comes before selling, but selling is the act of creating a relationship with a customer, uncovering their specific needs, their concerns, and finding a product or service that will meet those needs. So if you're looking for a salesperson, you have to think about where are they going to come from, and you're going to have to be skilled at asking the right questions and also reading the resumes. And I said to John Hadley last week, that it seems as though there are three different kinds of employees in one that you may encounter. The one type of employee is the person who is represented by the resume. The second person or within that individual is the one that you meet in an interview, and the third one who actually is on the job. And sometimes we see three different personalities, and this obviously can be a huge concern as to whether or not you're hiring the right person who's going to fulfill the needs of the company and also enhance have an enhanced value for the business. So sales positions are crucial, really, for any companies. And there have been surveys to determine where employers find the employees, the potential employees that they may wish to hire. And you can consider that there are perhaps four pools or places in industry where you might be able to find someone to fill a new opening. So the four pools of potential employees fall into interesting areas. One would be internal. So, and apparently 80% of hiring for salespeople will come from an internal workforce. Then another pool would be, in some surveys, indicates that 70% of the potential employees might come from similar firms or perhaps competitive firms. Then perhaps there's another pool, and it could represent perhaps 37% of the total pool of potential employees. And that 37% comes from other companies who work within the industry, but they're not competitive to your own company. And then, of course, there are people that hire from totally outside of their industry. So let's take a look at each one of these so-called pools to see what you need to be aware of in that interviewing process. So when you're looking at internal people, these candidates will be very familiar with your organization, and the customers know them, and they themselves know the products and services of the company. Furthermore, the hiring manager would likely know more about the candidate. It's easy to call a colleague to get reliable insights into the employee's character and work history. And internal candidates are likely the most familiar candidates. And I think there's obviously a comfort level in hiring somebody who comes from within the company. Now, there are also potential employees that might come from competitive companies or companies that are similar to yours. And so this is another pool which represents a vast majority of potential people that you might seek an employee from. So the importance of this pool makes sense because we wouldn't want to hire your competitor's best salesperson. Who wouldn't want to hire the competitor's best salesperson? So salespeople from similar firms have numerous loyal customers that can instantly generate new sales for the hiring company. Hiring managers might also be very familiar with the candidate's track record, given the head-to-head nature of competition. And in some industries, small industries in particular, the word gets out about people. So this type of candidate pool also includes individuals from peer organizations located in non-competing geographic regions. So these types of candidates would likely be familiar with the products and services of the hiring institution, but would also need to learn about the new employer's company, culture, and geographic territory. Another area that might be possible with would be people who are work in the industry that you're in, but they are not competitors. They work in businesses that are they're allied to the industry, to your type of company. And in this group, the hiring manager would consider that this person, knowing the industry, would acclimate to the new company and become comfortable. So that this could be a positive opportunity for you by hiring somebody who's in the industry but not exactly in the type of business that you have. The fourth group would be individuals without any background in your industry at all. So it would be like if you were in the business of selling automobile parts, you would hire somebody who's been in ag sales, totally different industry, and certainly not related. So while the candidate has experience in sales, the individual is short on knowledge of the industry as well as the products and services, and most likely it does not have a developed customer base. So it's more difficult. Now, there are companies that will hire for personality and they will train for the skills. So I guess it depends on the nature of your business and the degree of difficulty in learning the industry, learning the territory, learning the customers, and in some cases it can be time-consuming and costly. That's something to think about. So familiarity is very important across all of these results, and hiring managers consistently rated candidate pools that they had greater awareness of. And so think about where are you going to get your employees. Now, another point that I wanted to make, that when you read the resumes from someone who you're going to hire perhaps as a salesperson, take a really long, hard look at the statements that they make and the claims that they make with regard to who it was they've worked for, as well as the sales figures that they profess to have been responsible for creating. Because sometimes people do not give all the information clearly and correctly. And some of the numbers may be inflated. Now, I do believe that some people that hire and interview and hire for employees are not very skilled at the interview process. And they may also be reluctant to reach out to people in the industry who may know this individual. But you can't do that. You really have to do some sleuthing to find out more background information about the person without, of course, there are HR regulations and rules that you have to be aware of. In fact, it might be a good idea to connect with an HR professional just to make sure that you're not violating any rules and regulations in the hiring of somebody. But really do your homework before you make that final decision. Now, I did want to mention to you that I teach sales classes at Raritan College, and it's a two-night course, and it's really a crash course in selling. The first night, we talk about customers and what's important to them and how they want to be treated and what kind of information they need to have. And we also talk about the different buying characteristics and decision process that somebody goes through in order to make a purchase. The second night, we talk about the actual selling skills that I call the anatomy of a sale. And in that program, we talk about what it takes to get an order, or I should say to earn an order. In fact, Jeffrey Gittimer is one of my favorite authors, and he talks about the concept of earning a sale rather than closing the sale. And when you think about it, the word closing is really not the right word. A close sounds negative. You want to open the relationship. So from now on, if you hear somebody talking about closing the sale, you may want to suggest that they say that somebody has earned the sale. We also talk in that program about I came up with about 11 mistakes that salespeople make. And even seasoned salespeople don't know some of the techniques that I teach. So, and in fact, most people are not even trained in selling. And there are people who will hire somebody, give them a brochure and a sample, or show them the product or service, and say, okay, go out and sell, good luck. And they almost take the sink or swim attitude. So to be successful in business, you need to hire the right salespeople, train them both in product and service knowledge, and also train them in the selling techniques. And this will be a win-win for you, certainly, and the employee as well. We're going to go to a news break right now.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
God willing, Hillary Clinton will write the next chapter in that journey. We are America, second to none, and we own the finish line. Don't forget it.
Vice President Joe Biden endorsing Hillary Clinton at the Democratic National Convention last night. Tonight, she will officially accept the presidential nomination. President Obama also spoke last night.
I'm asking you to join me to reject cynicism and reject fear and to summon what is best in us to elect Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States.
Clinton is the first woman to receive the nomination from a major political party. And the DNC will have another first tonight. The first openly transgender person will address the party. Sarah McBride is a former White House intern who will talk about the LGBT movement. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast and the extended weather for today through the weekend. So right now we're looking at about 92 degrees, and the temperature may go down to about 72, but there is a very great chance of some heavy rain throughout the area here in New Jersey with thunderstorms. And this could, and in fact, the storms could continue tomorrow before 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, tomorrow we're looking again at about 80% precipitation and again about three quarters of an inch of rain possibly. So tomorrow night, again, showers, 30% chance of precipitation, and I believe it'll also be warm again. So on Saturday, the chance of showers and thunderstorms will continue. It will be partly sunny with a high near 85 degrees. And there will be light and variable wind. A chance of precipitation as 30%. And on Saturday night, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low of about 67. So it is going to start cooling off with a chance of 40% of rain on Saturday night. Now, on Sunday, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, it may be cloudy with a high near 80, and again, 50% chance of rain. And Sunday night, we're looking at mostly cloudy with a low of about 67, so Sunday night, the temperature will go down. So you'll have to plan you have to be flexible over the weekend, because we're looking at thunderstorms, showers, some rain, some warm weather, and then it will cool off in the evening, so as we look into that weekend, I hope that everyone has a good weekend. It occurred to me that since we were talking about hiring and the fact and also selling skills, that I thought it'd be interesting to take a look at some tips for building customer loyalty, because that's what business is all about. You have to meet customer expectations so that they stay loyal. In fact, they say that people that are satisfied with your product or service cannot be counted upon for being loyal. You have to do something special. You have to go out of your way. You have to, the word's delight. You have to delight your customers to the point that they will continue to come back to you. And so I'm going to give you some 6 tips here for building that customer loyalty, because those are the people who will give you repeat and referral business. So first of all, customers expect solid information. They by providing them with tangible information, it lets them know that you value them and respect their ability to make sound decisions. When they feel that they're respected, they're more open and willing to do more business with your company. One way to ensure they receive beneficial information is to ask probing questions, that's open-ended questions, during your conversations to uncover needs that they may not have voiced. So, for example, ask about the objectives they've set for their companies. What are their objectives? What are their goals? And what are the problems that they have in attaining those objectives and goals? Now, another thing is the customers expect options. So I often tell my students it's a good idea to say to them after exploring what their issues that they have and your recommendations, that you can boil it down to say, well, based on what you've told me here today, we have one or two, so that we have two ways that you could go, which would be best for you. So it's a choice of yes, yes. It's not a choice of yes or no. You want them to buy, but you want to also give them options so that they feel that they're playing a role in that decision process. Another important thing that customers expect is a single source service. They don't want to be transferred from one person to another to get their questions answered. And we've all been in those round robin phone calls where we've been asked to explain our concern, only to hear that it's somebody else will take care of it and get transferred. And I don't know about you personally, but I've given the same story sometimes to three and four people till I finally got to the right person. So people expect that single source. I had a situation with one of my I work in the pet industry, and I have a principal that we represent who has a team of customer relationship people on the telephone. And so one time I called and got an answer about a price on a product. I called back a few minutes ago just to validate it and ask a few more questions, and I was given a different price. And those two people were sitting at desks that were probably divided by one of those short walls in an office. So you have to be consistent and don't make people uneasy by not fulfilling their need to have the information that's important for making a decision. Also, customers expect superior communication. They may not be the best. They themselves may not be the best communicators, but they certainly expect communication excellence from you. So if you tell them that you will call them back at a certain time, make sure you do it. Your responsiveness will create a bond of trust and a communication comfort level. And I think this is a problem today, especially in some areas of the country or some industries or perhaps the generation that people fall into, that they're not skilled in the importance of communication. If you've done something for a customer that's on their behalf, let them know. Communicate that with them. If you say that you're going to call them back, do it. Keep them in the loop. And we work with a company that has done an excellent job of communicating. So if the company talks to a customer, they make sure that all the members of the company that connect with that customer are included in the communication, so it's a seamless relationship. Extremely, extremely important. Another communication thing that I run into is that we know companies that will run advertising programs, but they don't bother to warn their employees that they're running a program, or they don't warn they don't advise their customers that they will be running a special promotion, and nobody gets their money's worth out of that endeavor. So it's important to really keep an open line of communication. Advance notice on certain factors is important. The fifth tip I have for you is customers expect consulting. You as the company, representing the company, you're the salesperson, you're the expert on your business products and services. So your customer expects you to have information that will help them to make the right decisions. So you have to demonstrate your ability and knowledge as well as your intent to spend time with them to meet their specific needs. You are the consultant. Sometimes it's not a matter of selling them something that you have. It might be a matter of advising them to seek out certain information that they may need. Sometimes we can't sell them what we have to offer because it's not the right thing. So perhaps we need to take the step to advise them to and introduce them to go elsewhere to solve their problems. And then customers expect a seamless relationship. So the best businesses are those that believe in going the extra mile for their customers. They know that they have to reinforce why it's in the customer's best interest to continue doing business with them. Building a relationship with your customers built on mutual trust and respect takes time and effort. But remember, retention is the best method of building profit. Stay in touch with your customers by keeping them informed of new events, product updates. Pass along information that may be of interest to them. Include them. If you're going to attend a business event, make arrangements to see them. Invite them to go with you. It's just amazing. We've had, and many of our listeners have had this experience, where you buy something from a certain company because you liked the salesperson, you liked the product or service that they offered, but you've never heard from them again. So it's a really... It's the vendor is the one who loses because they have not kept in touch with the customer. So those are some of the expectations that your customers have, and they will help to build the customer loyalty that's so important for the growth of your business. Now, when it comes to communication, that's another area that I wanted to talk about with you today. And that is the use of email. And I have there are a lot of problems that we have with email. And I was going to share with you some of that information. The email or electronic mail is interesting. It was introduced to the public in 1966. So that's how long people have been using email. But for some people, they consider it to be a double-edged sword. There are pros and cons to email. So think about this. How would you feel if you had an empty email inbox? Are you relieved? Are you worried? Are you skeptical? I mean, either or. Suppose it's filled. How do you feel then? Do you feel overwhelmed? So, email really plays a big part in our working lives. It can definitely be our friend, but they can also it can also be a painful activity for some of us. So, like most communication tools, email can be used for good or for bad. So take a look at the positive side of email. It's easy to use. It's fast. It's very efficient. You certainly have flexibility and convenience when you're using email. Another thing with the advent of all the mobile devices that are out in the market today, you're no longer tied to your desktop computer. You can get your email virtually any place you are located, as long as you can get on the internet or get it through your cell phone provider. If you can't reach someone by telephone, sometimes you can reach them through email. In fact, many of us discover by asking customers how they prefer to be reached, many of them will say, I'd rather have you contact me by email rather than a phone call. And so it's a good idea to always ask how they want to hear from you. You can check your messages on your own time schedule. And there are people that have strict personal rules about using their email. They may decide that they check the email, let's say, from 8 till 8:30 in the morning. They won't check them again until after lunchtime, perhaps. And then before the day is over, they check again. There's some of us, and I'm one of those people, who's on the internet all day long. Because if I'm in sales, And I'm involved in marketing and sales, and information comes in all day long. Unfortunately, my email box gets pretty filled with a lot of messages that I don't need or I don't want, and they've come to me without being asked. Also, email gives you an opportunity to keep a written trail and record of all kinds of information. So if there's a question pertaining to a certain topic or a discussion, typically you can go back and do a search. I use Outlook, and I can do a search by the name of the person, or perhaps I can do a search on the topic that has been discussed, and I can find all of the emails that relate to that particular matter. And, of course, email is environmentally friendly, so it makes it easy in terms of saving paper, trees, and fuel. The fuel being the fuel if you were to mail something, you'd have to use paper, and of course the post office cost. So it's very inexpensive to have email, or I guess you could say no cost at all. So email is versatile. It can be organized for current and future reference. You can store data that comes through the emails. What about the attachments? I think many of us use attachments to explain certain information to the recipient. You can use graphics. You can also automate your emails. There are people that use autoresponders, and they will actually stock up on messages that go out periodically without having to be there to issue those. It's easy to prioritize information that comes in when you have email. And typically it's reliable and secure, although today we have to worry about spam and we have to worry about viruses, and we need the protection, that's for sure. Also, companies today are using email as an advertising tool, although you have to be careful about who you send that information to. In fact, Seth Godin, who's the father of guerrilla marketing, talks about permission marketing, and that goes for emails that would be considered to be spam or advertising that was not to be accepted by the recipient. So it's important to get people's approval to send them stuff before you do it. So those are some of the things we want to think about. Now we're going to check with some of our advertisers, and I will come back and finish this part of our discussion.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Vicki Lynn Morgan. I'm with Hunterdon Radio online, and the program is Teachable Moments in Business. By the way, I own a Rushmore Mentoring Group, and many of the products, many of the topics we talk about today and will do so in the future are topics that I discuss with my mentoring clients. So it's important that you speak with somebody who understands your business and can relate and give you advice. So that's what you're getting here on Teachable Moments in Business, and I hope you'll continue listening to the program. We were talking about pros and cons of email, and one of my pet peeves is that we receive emails from people that are not signed. They have their name, perhaps their first name, on the bottom of the email, but they don't list the name of their company, the address, their cell phone number, perhaps. And sometimes those emails will say, please call me, and there's no phone number there. So please, when you design your email message, please at the bottom put all your contact information so that it's easy for you to for that person to get back in touch with you if it's necessary. Another pet peeve I have is that I do business with somebody who insists on spelling my name incorrectly. So my first name is Vicki Lynn. It's two words, Morgan. I have, when they open up my email, they see who the message is from. It's my full name. I also sign my name at the bottom of the email. And, in fact, they often respond to me with the correct email address that has my name in it, but they'll say, hi, Vicki, and they don't spell my name correctly. Please, it's really an insult. So this is goes back to the communication we were talking about. Respect people, spell their names correctly. If you're not sure, look it up. That's something that's very important. Also, grammar is another thing. We say, hey, guys, or the salutations are not appropriate. If you're sending an email to a certain company, find out who the individual is who should be receiving it, just not dear payroll department or dear accounts payable, which I have seen in emails. You need to send an email to someone who will be responsible for responding to you. Now, there's some, we talked about the fact that there are pros and cons. Some of the cons of email are, there's a lot of them, actually. So make sure you're not sure when somebody sends you an email that they've actually read it, and you can get a report back through your email system that they've actually opened up the document. And but you don't always know that they've actually read it. And you're not clear on whether or not they have understood what you've said. So be very clear in your communication. And in fact, when information is transferred from one person to the other, it can get misunderstood many different ways. It's a matter of how the person communicates from their own perspective, how they communicate with an understanding of how that information is going to be received. Also, communication can go awry because of the way somebody interprets what you've said. So it's a good idea to read and reread what you've written before you send it, making sure also that there are no spelling or grammar errors, because when we see mistakes like those that I've cited in email, it's really an indication that the person is too hasty. They don't take pride in what they're sending out. So communication today is really, really, really important. So unlike face-to-face communications or even video conferencing, email lacks the nonverbal cues. This makes it easier for us, again, to misinterpret the written communication. Also, sometimes there's sarcasm or humor that just is hard to identify when you can't see the sender's facial expression, which can lead to all kinds of problems. Now, urgent transactions, and especially those which require signatures, can't always easily be managed through emails, although there are systems where you can get a digital signature. But some people have trouble figuring out how to use those services on their email system. Another issue with email is that sometimes it's just too spontaneous. Think about it. Have you ever sent an email in anger or later realized that they misinterpreted what you meant to say? And so the question is, should we instantly respond? Should we think about it, wait for a couple hours or maybe sleep on it before you send it? Because unlike face-to-face conversation, we can't self-correct when we notice we've made an error unless we want to send another email, which can also be very awkward. And, of course, some of us have either sent or received emails by mistake that we probably should not have seen or have sent. Another issue today, too, and this is another one of my pet peeves, some emails are entirely too long, and people just lose interest and don't read them all. I get a newsletter from an email newsletter from someone who is so lengthy in her writing that I don't even bother looking at them anymore. I just cancel them. So another issue, too, is if you ask, say, two or three questions in an email, quite often the reader will respond to the first question and not the second or third questions that you've asked. So maybe it's time to break that email down into two or three messages rather than expecting to get all three responses in one email. And, of course, email boxes today are getting pretty full. with all kinds of messages, whether it's advertisements or spam. And so you have a feeling probably that you're in overload mode. And it can be very frustrating and stressful when that happens. And sometimes you just don't know where to begin. And I can tell you that I have that problem from time to time. So it becomes very hard to manage. And maybe it's time to opt out of some of the emails that you're getting. So, and when that happens, if you're getting too many in that email box, you're going to miss some documents that you should have seen. Now, we're all getting spam. We're all getting, many of us are experienced the act of hacking, which is breaking into computer security and viruses. So you really need to perhaps protect your computer. I have several protection mechanisms on my computer, so if one doesn't catch it, hopefully something else will. But if you ever had to shut your computer down and take it out and get it cleaned up, that can be costly and time-consuming, and you can lose business. So in order to be up to date with your email, you need to have a schedule or a system that you're going to check on your messages and be consistent. Get rid of the information that you don't need, because otherwise it's going to clutter your inbox and your mind, most likely. So we are coming almost to a close here for the program. There were just a thought that I had, and that is I wanted to share with you the fact that Steve Randolph was supposed to have been here today for an interview, and we had to cancel unexpectedly. So I hope to get him in here in the near future. Steve has a beautiful speaking voice to begin with, but he used to be on the radio up in Hackettstown, New Jersey, and has been in radio communication. He does voiceovers, and he was going to be talking to us about transitioning from one industry to another, which he has gone through, and he was going to share that information with us. So I do hope to have him in the coming weeks to come back to talk with us again. I have a Facebook page entitled Teachable Moments in Business, and you're certainly welcome to post your ideas or suggestions or questions on that Facebook page. We also have an email Gmail account, and again, send me questions that you have that you would like us to discuss about business. Maybe you have some concerns or you've run into issues that you need to work on to make things better for your business. So my email address is teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com. teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com. You're welcome to send me that information. And as I had said to you earlier, my business is Rushmore Mentoring Group, which is actually a division of Califon Connection LLC. I have two other DBAs in addition to Rushmore Mentoring Group. One is called Animal Brands. We work in the pet industry and have been manufacturers representatives who do sales representation of pet product for pet product manufacturers, and we sell their products to distributors throughout the country. And I also do consulting and speaking in the pet industry. The other business we have is called Rushmore Marine, and we sell floating dock systems to people who have waterfront property. So I kind of refer to myself as a serial entrepreneur. So this, along with the working, teaching classes, there's an awful lot of information out there that we can share. So I look forward to having you visit us next time, and thank you for joining our program, Teachable Moments in Business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
God willing, Hillary Clinton will write the next chapter in that journey. We are America, second to none, and we own the finish line. Don't forget it.
Vice President Joe Biden endorsing Hillary Clinton at the Democratic National Convention last night. Tonight, she will officially accept the presidential nomination. President Obama also spoke last night.
I'm asking you to join me to reject cynicism and reject fear and to summon what is best in us to elect Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States.
Clinton is the first woman to receive the nomination from a major political party. And the DNC will have another first tonight. The first openly transgender person will address the party. Sarah McBride is a former White House intern who will talk about the LGBT movement. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience.